Moon Podcasting Power! It's time for The Crystal Chronicles, the podcast for and about Sailor Moon crystals. And here are your hosts, Maku-chan, Alcrea, Seiya, Yaten, and Ranma.
Aito Seiki no Sera Fuku Bishoujo Sanji.
Oh my god.
Okay, if there was a cosplay of Eternal Sailor Moon chasing Piccolo with the moon wand, that would be Alcrea right off the bat.
I still love the fan art of Sailor Moon. Did you blow up the moon?
Oh god, yes!
I remember that one. Anywho, Mako-chan?
Yes?
Whenever you're ready.
Are we ready? Does everybody go?
Yep.
All right.
I'll yell it again.
Hello, and welcome to the Crystal Chronicles, a Sailor Moon podcast dedicated to all things Sailor Moon Crystal. On this podcast, we will discuss the latest episodes and compare them to the original anime and manga. You will get our opinions of the series, animation, voices, and anything else you could possibly think of that ties into the greatness that is Sailor Moon. I warn you now that we will be talking about spoilers, so if you haven't seen the latest episodes, don't complain to us. My name is Mako-chan, and with me for this podcast is a group of people just as obsessed as I am about Sailor Moon. Hi, everybody!
Hello! Sailor Moon!
Meow.
Holy cow.
Moo.
Did you just moo?
Maybe.
Sailor Why are you mooing?
Oh god, not that fan art. God.
Anyway, introductions, hellos. Say hi to the peoples.
Hi, peoples.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, are we going alphabetical order or does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but we always end up doing this. Somebody just start.
Hello, I am Alcrea. Sailor Moon cosplayer, Sailor Moon collector, Sailor Moon blogger, randomly yelling, Sailor Moon! All night tonight for some odd reason. Oh, because people wouldn't stop talking and I wanted to get on with this. So Sailor Moon!
My ears.
Maybe I'll stop it then.
Thank you.
Anyways, that's me. I think I normally say more, but I don't know right now.
I'm protesting. I'm not introducing us.
Well, that's Seiya and Yetin, who are protesting over there.
Evidently.
They are also collectors, cosplayers. They make a whole bunch of really cool Sailor Moon shit that you can buy on their store for your cosplay.
Is that what they said? You're striking?
I'm going to assume their union went on strike.
And then we have Ranma and Mako-chan, the hosts of that jam session, anime jam session.
the
they do it on Tuesdays, I think.
I'm ready to punch.
I don't remember what you say every week.
I'm ready to punch out now.
They do the thing with the stuff.
Remember? They do that thing with the stuff on that night.
On In that the place.
On that
this
network.
This is what happens when we don't record on time.
No, just imagine if we did record on Monday.
I would have been so out of it because Tekko kicked my ass. I was like totally exhausted.
Oh, I wasn't referring to Tekko.
I'm just saying for me, I would have been totally out of it.
And so would everybody else, but not because of Tekko.
Was there something else going on that I missed?
Monday?
No, he's making jokes about 420.
Yes.
Oh.
Which we don't. Whoosh!
Well, somebody has to, you know.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we got enough of the 420 jokes on anime jam session.
Pretty much.
The only 420 jokes I saw were on Facebook coming from you, Ranma.
Well, somebody had to.
I could care less.
Couldn't care less.
I said that.
Oh, I missed the other. Sorry.
My allergies are acting up. I'm a little congested, so I apologize if things do sound weird.
A little bit of moon dust up the nose?
Yeah, the damn plants are having sex, and it's not doing well with my nose. Even with my allergy medicines.
Oh my.
So,
I've had to double up on my allergy meds just to even get some sort of relief.
I'm afraid to try that. I fear I might sleep, like, all day. Even with drowsiness. But anyways!
Anyways, Sailor Moon!
Are you guys doing introductions, or are we just sticking with mine?
Hey, I don't... Al Crea's intro was fine by me. Shoot.
Hey, that works for me.
Alrighty, well then let's get on with it. Sailor Moon!
Okay, so, yeah, very talkative episode.
Oh, yeah.
My tears were falling like waterfalls at the end. When Chibiusa walked into the room with everybody laying there, like, half dead, I was just like, oh my god, poor Chibiusa. And then she got to the end with Luna and Artemis curled up and Diana there, too, and I was just like, oh!
There.
It was so preciously sad.
But lots of talking.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was a very informative episode, but at the same time, lots of talking.
See, I didn't even notice. I liked it.
I didn't notice it either. I mean, I guess the way they were explaining things with every way they were explaining it, it wasn't all that bad, you know?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they did do the flashbacks and all of that,
right,
too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not like it was just, you know, some dude talking in a purple outfit.
Non-purple outfit.
Right.
I know, which is still bugging me.
Serenity's hair actually got lighter. I was not anticipating they were actually going to do that.
Yeah!
I had been brushing it off as she's just trapped in the crystal. Who knows what's really going on with her hair?
No, it was actually white.
Yeah. Eh, it was more like a platinum blonde now. It still had a yellow tinge to it, but they totally lightened her hair. I was surprised.
Pleasantly, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was really happy to see it.
I wasn't anticipating it, though, since they didn't do it for Princess Serenity.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just doing it to those that age.
Probably.
Or, you know, become of age. Or maybe that's how they're showing how old she actually is.
She's 22.
Well, yeah, but she's 22, like, physically, but maybe...
She's 22 for, like, the 970th time.
Yeah, so maybe they're just showing that age through her hair.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say...
it's starting to turn white.
I was about to say, 22 with a full head of gray
hair. Or maybe
it's
because whenever you become queen, like, from the Moon Kingdom, you have white hair.
Queen!
Because didn't her mom have the white hair?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but again, we only saw her mother at the end of her reign, so...
Yeah.
It could go either way.
Well, maybe she got the gray hair after she had kids, because just remember, a lot of times our parents have gray hairs because of us.
Well, I can see Usagi giving her mom gray hair.
I could see Usagi doing that, but Serenity...
I don't know.
Mm. I don't know.
She was sneaking away, and, you know.
Serenity seemed like a much more toned-down Usagi, whereas Usagi, like, turned it up to 11.
Hmm.
Did you notice they didn't mention that Chibiusa was 900 years old?
Oh, did not realize that.
There's a couple of things that they changed, and that was the big one.
I didn't notice that it wasn't actually mentioned.
Nope.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you kind of are supposed to figure out, maybe. Only because they said that she stopped aging when she had Chibiusa. And then they talked about how old, you know, Crystal Tokyo was at that point.
Right, but that's assuming the audience is smart and can do math.
Right,
yeah.
In the manga, there was a big thing. What do you mean she's 900? Everybody freaked out. The other thing that they changed was, in the manga, Sailor Moon started to fade away. This time, Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Kamen started to fade away.
Which made more sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In theory, Venus should have started.
So should Venus,
too.
Because Venus is there as well, unless Venus is actually dead on the buyer.
And the cats.
So, does that mean the only two living people in that castle are Endymion and Serenity?
Maybe.
But they said that the cats were asleep. I could have sworn somebody said, you know, that they were injured and they were sleeping, and Diana was sleeping with her parents.
Well, technically, they all were sleeping. It's just that, you know, Endymion was, you know, projecting himself to talk to them.
Behold, he
even
the
mentioned
power
that he was just, you know, energy.
Right. Right. But why is only Usagi and Mamoru basically the only two that seem to have been...
Maybe it was because they were in the closest proximity. I mean, I know technically Mamoru wasn't by Endymion's body, but he was by Endymion, his essence. Yeah.
Or maybe they just don't care about anybody else because they don't seem to care about the rest of the Senshi very much in this show.
I'm going to go with proximity.
Yeah.
Or it was just plot and we're not supposed to think too deeply into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
I agree with that because you got to eliminate a little bit of common sense to advance the storyline.
Well, I don't think that common sense is necessarily needed if you just say proximity because they were standing in the same room as Serenity and Endymion's presence was right there with them.
Yeah.
His body may have been elsewhere in the castle, but...
And he did mention that, you know, they were very close to each other, too. He did actually bring that up. So, it's legit.
And it could be the fact that the cats and Minako's bodies were far away, but their presences were also far away. That's why they didn't fade. At least not yet.
But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that Endymion started to fade. That was my whole point.
Tuxedo. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm looking through right now, and it's possible that the whole Chibiusa being 900 years old is in the next chapter, because I'm actually not seeing it in this chapter at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. My headcanon is still that she's only 900 because she was actually conceived before the Silver Millennium, and then they went into that deep slumber before Serenity woke up Earth. And
they're not even talking about that deep slumber. I think that was an anime-only thing. I have not seen that mentioned in the manga anywhere.
I'm just saying what my headcanon is here. My headcanon is not purely anime or manga or Crystal or Mew or whatever. It's a little bit of everything.
Uh-huh.
My headcanon is that she was born right before that slumber, and then she fell into the slumber, and that's why she's 900 years old.
Got it. And I still like the look that Mamoru and Usagi had when they found out that was their kid. It's like, oh, crap, we shagged last night.
I thought that Luna and Artemis's was even funnier.
Yes, that I agree with.
And Minako in the background looking back and forth between everybody.
When do I get laid?
Heyo!
Yeah, according to this, never. Sorry.
So it must be the next one, then.
No, she's talking about Minako getting laid, not about...
Oh, I thought was still talking about the... When
no, I'm actually thinking the whole 900 years old thing comes into play around the time, either right before she becomes... during the time that she is Black Lady, or right after she turns into Sailor Chibi-Moon.
I haven't read that far in the manga yet. Hang on, I'll get it.
I got it! So, theoretically, from what we're seeing, the only Senshi that gets a piece of Nookie is Sailor Moon. Ain't that some shit?
Well, at least permanently.
Mm.
Well, yeah, because you know for a fact that Uranus and Neptune are not doing anything.
Nope, you're right, it is the next chapter. It's on page 212. My bad.
All right, so how long exactly did this wand last Usagi before it shattered?
What?
Is it 6 episodes? Mm. She got through before, you know, her source of, you know, being able to attack is shattered.
It's not shattered.
At the end of the episode, they showed it shattered.
Wasn't shattered.
No, they didn't shatter it.
No.
Well, no, it's still in piece. It's still in one piece, but it's cracked.
Yeah.
It's cracked
and
dull.
You didn't see it
in
this episode. You see it in the next one.
Oh, it is the next one? It's the preview? I thought it was this one.
Oh, that
would explain why I don't
remember it. I could have
sworn they showed you a picture of it broken on the ground.
Right.
How? All right, then I'm getting ahead of myself. It's in the new preview.
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have sworn that was in the preview, not this episode.
And I still haven't watched the preview, so that explains why I'm like, they didn't do that in this episode.
Okay, then.
I'm still getting irritated with all the Demondo love out there. Everyone's like, hey, Demond! I'm like, oh.
Really? Really? You're going to go to conventions and complain of creepers, but you're going to start lusting over a Demond.
He's made him a total asshole in this. That made me happy.
That's because part of people in the current generation don't realize it's the same thing. So
it's only creeping when the person creeping on you isn't attractive to you.
There you go. There you go.
Except no, he isn't attractive to Usagi.
Huh?
He isn't attractive to Usagi, so...
Right, but the people that are beholding him... Yeah. These are the same people that think Loki is awesome. We've discussed this before.
Yes.
Yeah. It's no...
And we should probably not discuss it, or else we might go on a tirade again. And by we, I mean me.
So, on more related tirades... We had this conversation while we were watching the episode because we noticed that King Endymion is wearing golf gloves.
Well,
he's wearing white golf gloves.
Okay. I have the theory for this.
No. We have a theory too. We're not done yet because we started having this conversation that maybe that's why his outfit is white in Crystal instead of lavender, because he actually put on his golf duds and he got caught when the Black Moon attacked golfing, and that's why his staff looks like a 9-iron.
See, that was pretty much what I was going to say, because pretty much Neo Queen Serenity, she's a high ruler, she runs things. What is your friend Demian to do? Play golf. That's all they for him to do.
And they did pan out at one point, and you saw the island before it got attacked, and it is pretty green. I could see some golf courses on there.
Oh my god.
The Black Moon family attacked while Endymion was out on the 18th hole. He was like, god damn it, I was almost done.
It's like, I told you, jackass, not to do that.
Oh, great. Now I picture Endymion in the golf cart speeding back to the castle. I'm done.
Why isn't this thing going any faster?
Congratulations, you just made Yaten snarf right in her teacup.
You said that, and then I went into this weird owl parody. If you guys have ever seen his White and Nerdy episode where he's in the golf cart that's all tripped out.
Yes.
An image of King Endymion in a tripped out golf cart.
Yep. And that explains why he has no idea what happened when the Black Moon attacked.
And there's a bumper sticker on the back of his golf cart. We break for royalty.
So there you go.
Thanks, dear. That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Okay, I gotta wipe the tears out. I'm just close to tapping out.
All of our listeners, if any of you can create this whole scenario into fan art, I will love you forever.
Especially him in the tricked out golf cart.
Yes.
While listening to where...
He has some spinning rims that have moons inside.
Bling, bling!
Should we assume that Serenity has used her silver crystal to bring back the generals and they're his golf buddies?
Absolutely.
Jedi and Kun's like, can we play through?
That would be very interesting with him and his power where he, like, touches the ground and he can find stuff. That's kind of, like, cheating, because then he can find his ball really easily.
There's a really bad joke right there.
He can find his balls, eh?
God damn it, Alcrin!
Well,
they're easy to find. They're in his
hey, Yen, set it up.
Exactly. And say
it
just
was the first hole.
Okay.
I'm dying.
Do you hear this? I am tapping out.
My apologies to anybody listening to this podcast tonight.
Apologies for those who are not listening with headphones.
Right. So, by the way, you have to watch this with us sometime because the commentary is interesting.
God.
Don't we have a crystal episode while you'll be out here?
No.
Oh, poops.
Damn.
But, okay. So, anyways.
That was a good laugh.
Where were we?
Anyway. So did we cover everybody's general likes and dislikes?
I like the fact that Mamoru did kick ass with his tuxedo la smoking bomber.
I had a Vegeta moment seeing him doing that attack.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that Venus was also in there helping kick butt.
Yeah.
That chain is no joke.
Nope.
Lovely.
See, I've been the one muting my microphone so you didn't hear me belch, but I guess all bets are off now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it was just good timing. Somebody else did it, and I felt one come in. I was like, the fuck, let's just go for it.
Classy.
Yeah. Y'all, I was hoping it would have been louder.
Y'all are a bunch of classy broads.
Yep, the classiest.
Yeah, you guys have to catch me on Skype sometime when I have a soda.
Oh, no, you'll give them an appearance right in person because we're going out to eat while they're here.
You guys better, like, record this so I can expect.
Trust me, I will.
So, anything else to be said about the episode?
I'm flipping through to see if there's any. There is a ton of dialogue.
It's just, you know, it was a lot of information, but it was a lot of information that we knew was coming.
Right. Uh-huh. I guess I kind of like how Chibiusa was being, in the beginning, she was kind of hesitant when she gave her greeting, and then, you know, she kind of got into it, and I like that there's more character to Chibiusa this time around. She was never my favorite character, but she's really cute time around.
Yeah, I kind of like that she's got, like, a little more sass to her. She's not just
a brat.
A spoiled brat. She's sassy.
Mm. Oh, and I like the fact that, Endymion doesn't talk down to her. Like, when he asks her to, you know, go with them, and can she protect herself and help them too? You know, he wasn't condescending at all.
I definitely like the fact that they really stressed Usagi contemplating with herself, basically, that she's not actually jealous. She just wishes that that Mamoru would share this task with her.
Right.
One thing I did notice from watching is that, I mean, when I was watching that scene, I mean, what popped in my head is more along the lines of, if you think about it, Chibiusa is daddy's little girl, and fathers will do whatever, you know, to protect their daughters, you know? And it's sort of like as if, you know, mothers will protect their sons, you know? Because if Chibiusa was a boy, trust me, I think the whole scenario would be totally be reversed. But that's just me.
I don't know. I had an equally close relationship with both of my parents, so I think that whole mommy's little boy and daddy's little girl thing is kind of BS.
Well, I mean,
you also have to remember that Usagi is 14.
Mm-hmm.
She's not exactly mature enough to handle the responsibility of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Mamoru is much better, but, you know, since the beginning, he's been able to, you know, get that there was something different about her.
Right.
And I think that stemmed from him seeing the crystal on her all the way in the beginning.
Yeah.
And the elephant in the room we missed, this is where we see Setsuna blush at Endymion's compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Any commentary on that?
Hey-o.
You know, the only reason I took it as anything more than, oh my goodness, my superior is paying me such high compliments is because there are so many people who have that whole shipping of them.
Yeah. I think the first time you see it, it's definitely, it looks like she's surprised that someone's noticed her hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this chapter, it's one of those, wow, someone really appreciates me. I've been here forever, literally. And someone finally appreciates me,
mm-hmm.
you know? But when you see it later on, again, for another time, you look at it and go, well, maybe there's a little more there than that. I don't know if it's more other than, you know, I mean, who doesn't like to be paid compliments by a superior and a superior of the gender of our choice? You know?
Pretty much.
So, I mean, it's flattering. Doesn't mean, you know, she wants to shag him. It's just flattering.
It's pretty much a senpai notice me moment.
There you go! That's a very good way of putting that.
Right. Just,
yeah, on the other hand, I mean, to go in the other direction, he's also probably the only guy she's able to be around. Because she is supposed to, you know, there isn't supposed to be any interaction between her and anybody.
Right.
And the first one to really interact with her is Chibiusa. So all of a sudden, you know, somebody that isn't hanging around anybody is suddenly, you know, constantly in contact with a male. So, I mean, it could be something as simple as that, too.
Right. And then there's the set of Mew watchers who will actually tell you that, oh, no.
Well, I mean, there is a point in which one of the reasons why Chibiusa gets jealous is because she smiles at Endymion in a way she never smiled at Chibiusa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's the old school musicals, the old ones now. There's an entire song that Pluto sings to Beryl, telling her to basically shut up, suck it up, I love him too, you can't go on a tirade like this.
Right. If you really love him, you'll be happy for him, even if he's with somebody else. That's her song. And it's a duet between Beryl and Pluto.
So basically what we're saying is that if Sailor Moon were told from the point of view of Mamoru, it would be a harem anime.
Well, it depends, because he and Rei did date in the original anime. Or pseudo-date.
And then I don't think he really thought it was dating.
And then throw
Yeah, I don't think he thought it was dating, but Rei definitely thought it was dating.
And then throw the movie into this, and you get to throw a gay dude into the harem.
Mm-hmm.
A gay alien dude.
No need for Mamoru.
But they make a lovely couple.
Yeah.
And then you've got Master. Oh, God.
Yeah, because you start getting into the PGSM thing. And,
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little...
So basically, you make Mamoru the main character, and we've got ourselves a harem anime.
Definitely.
He is the pimp daddy in his golf cart.
Not the golf cart again.
Pardon me, but do you have any gray poop on?
What are you talking about, golf outfit? This is my pimping clothes.
My senshi better have my money.
If the belt's around his waist, it's a golf outfit. If he drops his pants down his butt cheeks, it's a pimp outfit.
Oh, God.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now he just needs a hat.
No.
Yes.
Well,
he did have his mask tied off into a bow at the back of his head, and it was, like, you know, blowing in the wind, so.
So how about the creepy Esmeralda arms? And she gets a third one that just kind of pops out of her back, man.
I thought she had, like, four arms total in that.
Yeah, I have to say that I kind of like the dragon version from the original anime better than creepy arm version.
Look like Sandman arms, if you ask me.
But yeah, I definitely... Seeing how they dealt with the whole Esmeralda thing in the manga and in the new series, I think I really liked her storyline better in the original manga. I mean, in the original anime.
Oh.
In the original anime, we got her stuffing her face full of cake, and that was just hilarious.
But I mean, besides the whole, you know, monster of the day crap where she was sending out monsters, just that whole thing where, you know, it showed that she wasn't jealous because of the family thing. She was jealous because she had feelings for Demond.
Right.
And he only had eyes for somebody that was already married. So I mean, I like that storyline because it brought in you know, her jealousy and her turning, which kind of explained why Chibiusa became, you know, was able to turn into Black Lady.
Mm-hmm. They used that jealousy because when Rubius kind of caught her skulking, that she about peed her pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was one of those, what you doing? Ah!
Oh, dear God. Sorry, I just saw a picture of new Sailor Moon merchandise.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks to Ranma here.
You're welcome.
Oh no, I wasn't even looking at the Ranma stuff. I'm looking at Moonsticks.
Oh,
yay for shoes!
He just tagged me in the shoes, so.
I figured you'd be appreciative. I figured you'd like it, so you know.
I'm not entirely sure.
The only ones that look like they are pretty much are on par are the ones for Rey, you know, but, eh.
Well, this isn't supposed to be, you know, this is just supposed to somewhat represent them. I want Luna's shoes.
I kind of do want the moon ones, but I have a feeling they're going to cost, like, $700.
And are you talking about seriously, like, the sailor stripes on them?
Yeah.
They're adorable!
And as one person already said, I could probably make my own cheaper.
Probably.
Honestly, if you want the Luna shoes, all you need is a crescent moon and glow them on the top, man.
Yeah. The Luna shoes, it's not a full black pump. It's kind of an off black, and then it looks like a patent black toe with ears and a moon.
Right. I could totally see myself wearing those moon ones, though. And they made the pink instead of red. Yay!
The problem with a lot of these shoes, and I don't know about you guys, but I got giant feet. They would never make them in my size.
Yeah.
No, they do not make giant foot sizes. I would probably need 3 of them to fit my feet.
Okay, Shaq.
I got some big feet.
You and I are of a size. I know that.
And unfortunately, because of a busted ankle, I would need something that would fit around that, too. Anyway, so were there any other differences between the original anime and this episode that either...
That's all she could think of.
I don't really remember the original anime counterpart all that much.
No, it's actually very similar, this whole storyline. They didn't really stray a whole hell of a lot, besides the whole, you know, monster of the day and making Esmeralda into a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they basically kept a lot of the, you know, the main bulk of the storyline the same.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if there's anything else from this episode?
Nope.
Then what is everybody excited to see in the next episode?
Sailor Moon.
I'm not excited. I'm actually not looking forward to the whole manipulation thing that we're about to see, because again, I find it incredibly creepy.
Yeah, me too. That's...
Yes, because we should see Usagi kidnapped
and all that joint tales.
Yeah, and all that interesting thing. We should see the other Senshi back finally.
We should
see the whole manipulation of Chibiusa. Not necessarily her becoming Black Lady yet, but definitely the whole manipulation part of it.
Right, where he's like, I am, you're a bright kid, I understand what you're going through, come with me, if you want to live. Anyway.
Yeah.
I actually really kind of hope that they make the whole Usagi abduction thing, like, ultra creepy, though. Just because I have already gone into it before. I absolutely hate Diamond, and I want everybody to hate him.
But, you know, not everybody is going to, but even when they see his true colors and all of that, you know.
In the original anime, he was creepy, but he didn't seem, at least to me, as bad as he did in the manga. For some reason, the manga set off way more alarm bells, and maybe, again, because there's way more filler. And so it's all low some. But he didn't seem as bad. And wasn't there a redemption episode for him anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't get that at the end, straight up balling all the way through. So
I don't know, because they could go in a variety of different directions. The original anime, you got him instead of showing his strength and manipulation sexually, you got him basically showing his power and forcing her to kneel and not, you know, not be able to move and things like that. Whereas you have the latest musical and he's practically raping her on the bed.
I mean, he definitely forces himself upon her in the manga.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go with this whole thing.
I know, that's something that I will be genuinely disappointed with if they go more towards the route of the original anime.
The only thing really softened the blow on so far is at one point there was supposed to be a little kid that got incinerated by, I think it was one of Berusha's, I can't remember her, Katabatis's minions, and they, instead of doing a kid, they did a dude coming home from work. But other than that, I really am unaware of them softening any blows. They've been pretty straightforward with this. It's
yeah, different. I mean, they definitely said that this was, you know, this was for the manga readers. This was going to be the darker retelling. So I'm really glad that they stuck with that.
Darker, but...
Yeah, well, more adult, yeah. I should say. But at the same time, with all of the hype on the internet about, you know, the whole being, you know, men forcing themselves on women, it's going to be interesting to see which, if they keep to the original or if they, you know, tone it down or not.
Whether they tone it down or keep it to the original, the Tumblrites are still going to complain. And even if you point it out in the manga, this is what happened. Some of y'all read the manga and now you're going to complain, which I can kind of see. You know, it's like, I guess it's, to some people, it's a difference as opposed to reading it and kind of making your own assumed conclusions, as opposed to when you watch the animation and this is, it's more like this, you know what I'm saying? Shattered dreams much.
But in
they complained over innocent, they complained over innocent kisses, so I really don't even want to know what they're going to think about this next episode, or I should say the next series of episodes.
I definitely think it's something that should be left in, though, for the sheer fact that Sailor Moon has always been good at addressing subjects like this. I mean, just look at the entire original anime for the Dream Arc, especially with the Amazon Trio. Everybody always rips on it for being such a lighthearted series, yet that was actually kind of dark and twisted of a series. And the way they did an entire portion of the season of men straight up violating women while they're screaming no stop was really kind of a clever way to approach the subject in a children's show of all things.
No, Mamoru got violated too.
Well, yes, but
because Fisheye was going after the guys, so some guys did get violated, including little kids.
Fisheye were a lot more aggressive than Fisheye was, for sure.
They each had their type. We had young women, old women, and then boys and men.
Boys to men?
Yeah.
Motown Philly?
Yeah, I think Fisheye was a little bit creepy going after the little boys, though.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that. But anyways, the point is that they made a particular season seem really lighthearted, but it was anything but, if you ask me.
It's more like, you know, when you watch a show when you're a child and you see how funny it is and so forth, and then when you're an adult and you go back to rewatch it and you're like, oh, sort of like Animaniacs. A lot of stuff was funny, but you're an adult...
Fingerprints!
Yeah,
you thought something was funny as a kid, but you watch it as an adult, and it's a whole different level of funny now. My God, I totally understand why my mom used to so enjoy watching shows like Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain and Freakazoid and all that. Because those shows are so adult while still being so kid-friendly.
All right, so is there anything else that anybody wants to say about the episodes?
Nope.
No.
All right, then thanks for listening. Our podcast runs every other week and will usually be posted before the weekend. Catch us on iTunes and visit our Facebook group at The Crystal Chronicles. You can check out our website, too, at thecrystalchronicles.com, where we will be posting news, information, and episode breakdowns. And Sailor Moon says, see you next time.
Oh, are we not doing outros for ourselves this time?
I completely forgot.
Oh, okay.
Bye!
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 For more information about this podcast, check us out at thecrystalchronicles.com. Thanks for listening.
Podcast no, gariwai no message.